This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Special guest, this is unscripted, unrehearsed. This is something really an amazing show that's coming up with my friend, my new friend here, Frank Hollis. How are you, Frank?
Good. How are you?
Had no idea you're going to be here in Chicago on the Dean Show today, did you?
Not any idea at all, nope.
But life is a challenge. It's a test. As we come to know, the Creator is telling us that He's created life and death to test which of us are best indeed. We know, as those who have submitted to the will of God, as Muslims, that life is a test. There's going to be many challenges and obstacles, but we have to struggle to be good, to do good, to be on the way that's pleasing to the Creator before we meet Him. And we had an incredible situation. I'm going to let you into my life a little bit now and see some of the tests that we're going through. We have one situation here that we're dealing with, and we want people to benefit so you tomorrow can benefit from this story and avoid something like this happening to you. So how about I start off first? How's that?
Yes.
Okay, here's how it goes. Here's how we met, and we'll bring you up to speed. You know, I was driving a car. I purchased a 2004 Ford, and I had it for me about a couple of years, and I decided to sell it. Had about 187,000 miles. So I had my friend Omar, because, you know, I'm very busy. I don't have time to be, you know, going on Craigslist and on the other advert sites and answering the calls. And so I had somebody, Omar, a friend of mine who works for Toyota, list the car. And he was the one that was taking care of all these things for me. He gives me a call and says, "We got a buyer. Come on down." Now, my job is just to sign the title and count the cash, right? So what happens is we end up selling the car. I sold the car, and then sometime later, I get a call, well, an email from my friend Frank here. Frank, who's also a kettlebell instructor. For people that don't know what that is, kettlebell, right?
Yes.
So come to know that the guy who I sold the car to, he went and did what's called a title jump. Is that right? I just learned this this fancy word, title jump. He altered the title, went and sold it to Frank, and we'll continue from there. What happened?
Well, he had sold it to me saying it had 77,000 miles on it. So I, of course, took it for a test drive, and it was in great shape. He cleaned it up very well. It looked like it was a car that had that many miles on it. So he wrote down 077 on the title, and that kind of was a little bit of a flag. But I was excited to get this vehicle because it was a very good price for such a low mile. And afterwards, after the excitement, the next morning I woke up and thought that there were some odd things about his behavior. So I did a Carfax report on it and found out that indeed I was misled, and it had over 177,000 miles on it at that time.
187,000 to be specific.
Right. Based on what your document showed me, it had 100.
The Carfax actually showed, what was it?
It showed the last reported
was
169, which was on the top of your title. But it had actually, according to Eddie, and truthfully, it had 187,000 miles on it. And it was sold to me as if it had 77 for obviously a lot more cash.
So the people are like, well, why didn't you look at the odometer? What, I mean, doesn't the odometer say the actual mileage?
The odometer did say 77,000 on it. So it was most likely modified or replaced or something. So that was tampered with.
It actually shows. What does it show?
77,000 on it right now.
And now they can see the title. You can see what when I sold the car to the person that we made, what a person should do is make the copy of the title, right? And then the bill of sale. And then you see on there that it said, you know, the 160.
Well,
when he sold it, he had written
in 187,000. That was erased when there was no mileage written down on that. He had taken Eddie's title and erased the values from it and his own signature to make it look as though he was Eddie selling it to me.
So what did he actually tell you now? That now were you concerned to say, hey, well, this doesn't match up. You know, why are you, did you ever think that you're not the actual owner. What did he tell you to make you believe now that this deal is legit?
He had said that he was selling this for a friend, so he was almost reiterating what Eddie's experience with Omar was, saying he was doing it for a friend. And that's how he made, and he had two children in the car, so I'm thinking that it's you know, he's a family man, and he's being honest, and that he's truthful. So, but in fact, as it turns out, he had actually altered the odometer as well as Eddie's title.
So that's how we came into contact, because I thought, because coincidentally, the guy who bought the car for me, he put down that his name was Frank Costello, right?
Correct.
So then when I got message an email from you to my business, because I'm not a hard person to track down.
Right.
You even got to watch some of the Dean shows, didn't you?
I actually did. I did watch a bit of that, and
you know who my father was, his history. You know all about us.
Right. So it was odd that I didn't think it was Eddie that sold it to me at that point. And plus, after seeing the photos, and like I knew it wasn't the same person. So I knew something was definitely at this point wrong. And that's when I actually contacted Eddie and went down to Chicago to meet him in person and to find out that, you know, that he really is who he said he is, and is an upstanding guy.
Well, Frank Costello, whoever his name is, his legitimate name, he didn't think he'd be on the Dean Show too, because we got some surveillance footage, don't we?
Yes, we do. So we got his picture, his name. I've got phone numbers, so we've got a lot to go on. Hopefully when we go to the authorities, we can catch him to prevent us in the future.
So now you contacted Place of Business. I thought I was calling that guy back, because I thought, well, maybe he's asking me something about the car. You wanted to talk to me. So then I called that number that he left for me, and the guy was like, who is this, basically? Because I didn't email you back. I called the number. I thought I was calling the guy that I sold the car to. So here we are. So then I call back, and the guy's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, this is a new number. So I guess the number got, like, he gave me a fake number. So then I email you, ask for your number. I call you, and then what were you asking me? I actually called you, and I'm like, you're talking about something, and I'm like, confused. What is this?
I was trying to explain that this guy who called himself Anthony that sold me it, I was telling Eddie that, this guy Anthony that you had sell your car to me had the wrong mileage on there, and Eddie's like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Who's this Anthony guy? So
sold it to Frank,
a different Frank. So we knew something was up, and we arranged to meet here at Gracie Barra.
So now, obviously, you know, this is something that, you know, no one likes to have themselves ripped off, because obviously, you know, this is something that is sad that it happens, that we have criminals out there. So I was thinking, it's good that we got to meet. We want to look at, there's got to be some greater good that's going to come from it. And we as Muslims, we're taught, because Islam teaches us to go ahead and help others. So it's because of Islam that we try to do our best to help our brothers in humanity, because, you know, we have empathy and for everybody that's out there. We would never want something like this to happen to us. So the people who are watching this now, hopefully they can learn a lesson from this situation. Hopefully now this will be on many of the major networks on there. We're on 5 satellite channels. Here, the show is aired in Chicago, local TV. Maybe some CNN, Fox will pick this up, put his name out there. We don't know. Right. But then other people now, how can they... People, because people do transactions all the time, honest, legit transactions, right? They want to sell their car. What lesson can they learn from this?
I made a lot of mistakes. I did not confirm the person with an actual driver's license, and I did not look over the title carefully to see, you know, if you look carefully, there were some scratches on it and fold marks that could have been a sign. Those are things initially, and to go maybe directly to the currency exchange to transfer the title right away. Those are some mistakes that I had made that I feel, you know, bad about, because it was not smart in any way, shape, or form. But and it's embarrassing to an extent. But I want to look past that, and I want to help anybody out in the future. So I'm gonna pay for this mistake. So hopefully somebody else does not have to.
And we were talking about it can always be worse, right?
Yes.
We were talking about that, let's say we might suffer now, maybe to prevent something greater from happening. Let's say tomorrow, you know, in this whole thing, we always are taught to look at those who have less. A situation can always be worse. Obviously, we want this person to be brought to justice, and we don't want this to happen to anybody, but somebody in this whole thing, you know, maybe your family could have got hurt. Maybe down the line, you know, hey, this can make you be sharper that tomorrow, you know, maybe you're doing a big multi-million dollar deal, and you're not going to ever let something like this happen again. You're going to do your more due diligence.
Right, and, you know, it's all to make the world a better place, to be safer, and hopefully to make people more aware, and you know, you don't want, it can be a lot worse. There could have been physical harm, not just financial. My family could have been involved and that sort of thing, and we want to avoid that. We want to bring these people to justice. That's all I can say, is that we, you know, that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, so next time if you're selling a car, what would you say for the person now that actually is going to do a transaction? Go to the currency exchange maybe? What else can you tell them? What other tips would you do? What would you do differently?
I make sure that who the person is selling it to is the actual person that matches the title, either with the driver's license or some other form of identification, so that it's not somebody that may have stolen the car trying to sell it to you. That's one thing. And I think after the transaction is complete, it may be best just to go to the currency exchange with the title to make sure it gets transferred over and doesn't get modified in the future to the person that you either sold it to, or well, that would be the case where if you're selling it, if I'm ever going to sell a vehicle to a stranger, I'm going to make sure that title doesn't be carried on or modified and then hurt somebody else. Mm-hmm. Those are the main types of tips. You have to make sure you have the right person.
You said something in your exchange back with the person. Tell us, you said something that really, you know, we believe that everyone is born in original goodness, that we all have this innate nature to do good, right? Society might corrupt us, our friends, family, but everyone has been created with a clean page, and they have this ambition to do good, to be good, and to only worship the Creator and not His creation. Now, when you wrote something in the text, you talked about how can you be an example for those kids. There was kids in the car. You talk about that, because that would touch someone's heart. Someone who has any bit of good, that would wake that goodness up inside somebody.
I did try.
Tell them what you said.
I texted him saying that because he had basically said that it was sold as is, and he has a bill of sale, therefore he's not going to deal with me or help me or anything. And
let's get this straight. So now when you get the Carfax, you see that, hey, this is not matching up. So now you have some number that he left you. So now what was the first interaction?
What did you say? I was trying to work it out with him to say this is dishonest. And I felt that I would appeal to him first before I accused him of anything and went to the authorities. I figured maybe I can appeal to the goodness to have him maybe say, I guess you're okay, and I didn't mean to do that, and maybe give me some of the money back. I don't know. His response was basically he didn't want anything to do with me. And then I texted back saying that I really felt that that was very dishonest. And what example was he setting to the children that were in the car with him that, you know, I don't know what he told the children what he was doing, but ultimately it's a bad example to these children that what you can trick somebody out of the money, and that's a good thing. So I'm hoping that I would appeal to him that it was a bad example for his children, and he's going to perpetuate this evilness unless he stops it or gets stopped. So,
you know, things have a funny way. We believe if you do good, you get good. What goes around comes around. If you plant seeds of goodness, goodness is going to sprout. If you plant seeds of evil, you will suffer the consequences. And definitely, if not in this life, in the next, the day of judgment. That's what all the messengers of God taught. Not only did they teach it, we as Muslims believe that they all brought the same message. Worship the Creator. Jesus came with that same message. Worship the Creator, not the creation. They came with that good news, meaning if you do good, you get the reward of paradise. If you do evil, you live a corrupt life like this person, you're going to be accountable. And hellfire will be your place. So now tell us, for that person that's out there and like I said, funny thing, you know, he's watching the TV. Bam, he sees his picture on there, and you got a chance to address him. What would you say to him?
I am disappointed. I don't know why he chose to do this to somebody like me, and it is not just financial, but it seems personal. And I would like to think that he wouldn't put anybody through this type of trial and tribulation, that he would, you know, come clean and change his ways. I don't have a lot of faith in him doing that, but that's what I wish would happen. I'm an optimistic person. I think that the world should be a good place, and that's probably why I fell prey to him, because my idea of how the world should be would not include people doing these wrongful things like this. But change around and do what's right, and don't do this to other people.
Yes, definitely. And we're gonna go head on. What's our next place?
Going to the police station to file everything we need to do and hopefully get past this.
So we'll keep you posted, let you know what happened. And the next, I got a gift for you. I got some gifts for you. Here, you can't come on a Dean show and not get a gift. We got some nice books for you, because, you know, we don't think also this is coincidence. Now it's a good opportunity that we got to meet, at least now, right? Mm-hmm. You got to meet a Muslim. You got to learn a little bit about Islam. You got to be on the Dean show, viewed internationally all over the globe. You never thought in a million years this would be happening, huh?
No, I didn't.
So hopefully you can get a chance to check and read. You can share that with your family. Some good information there, and we hope that, and we know when we put our trust in the Creator, everything will turn out good. So we have to be patient. There is a verse in the glorious Quran where God Almighty is saying that all mankind is in loss except those who believe and do good deeds, and then speak the truth, live the truth, call to the truth, and are patient. And this is one of those times where we have to be patient, put our trust in the Creator, and God willing, everything will turn out. And everything, thank God, your family's okay, you're okay. And we say, inshallah, God willing, with God's help, we turn to Him alone, and we ask, He'll facilitate a way of ease for all of us. So thank you very much for being with us. And we're going to go down to the police station, and we'll keep you posted on what happened. We'll be back, God willing. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
But you figure out that, you know, man has to have a purpose. If you were to take away mosquitoes from the planet, within a few months, everything dies.
You just took away what?
The mosquito.
That's a fact, right?
That's a fact.
Mosquitoes.
But if you take away mankind, nothing happens. So this whole ecosystem, this whole wheel, this whole cycle, doesn't need you. So why are you here?
Peace be with you. We are here with Frank Hollis, and we're just coming out of the police station, Chicago Police Station, Chicago's finest, and we're going to let them do their job. What happened inside?
We're instructed to contact the Illinois State Police. They have a unit that specializes in this sort of thing, so I'm going to contact them and go from there, let them tell me what they need from me to do it. But according to this police officer in here, you know his name, he seems to think that this is a close-cut case, and we should be helped.
So the criminals out there, beware. They're coming for you, Chicago's finest. And thank you again.
Thanks,
and we'll be in touch to get an update on what's going on.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Peace. Salam. And thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show, another exciting show. You know what? So much crime and so much evil out there in the world. We have to make a difference. The people... good, wholesome, organic life, living how the Creator wants us to live. We have to help those who are suffering. We have to help those people who are out there, and we have to be the best examples to mankind. So hopefully from this, you get to benefit, so this doesn't happen to you. And hopefully for those people who are doing crimes, this can wake them up and we can touch a good soft spot in their heart, because like we said, all of us are born with original goodness, so it's never too late. A person has been the most wretched, the most evil. If they turn their life around and they repent to the Creator of the heavens and earth, God forgives all sins. Him alone and only Him. And we got to share a little bit of this way of life, the purpose of life, a little bit with our new friend, Frank Hollis. You never lose a great dawah opportunity. So he got to meet a Muslim, he got to hang out with the Muslims, and you can see that Muslims are about justice, about peace, about doing good, helping our brothers in humanity. And we look and we hope to see you next time here on The Dean Show. If you have any information on this criminal who did this crime, go ahead and contact Chicago's Finest, and we'll see you next time. Peace be with you.
Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the deen of Islam. This is the deen of Islam.